today on Compassion Radio.
We're somewhere on the learning curve, and God is comfortable with the learning curve, but we should start somewhere in the process. And like we've said over and over again, love is a good place to start. Listening is an excellent way to convey love in a culture that flat out has too much to say and too few people listening.
Well, sometimes we don't know what the dream means. We're stumped. But we can still have an opportunity to speak life into a person. So we say, you know, I really don't know what that dream means, but let me tell this about what I see in you.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. Well, we know that God speaks to us through His Word. Sometimes He speaks to us through other people, and sometimes in dreams. Today, Bram connects with Rob and Katie Mazza, a couple who ministers in a variety of ways, including dream interpretation. One of the ways they use their giftings is by making regular trips to the Burning Man Festival in Black Rock, Nevada. This week, they'll be sharing, among other things, the incredible work God is doing in the hearts of many of the young people at that huge and, as some might say, controversial event. Also joining Bram today, a friend of this ministry and co-laborer with the Mazzas, Andrea Barrather. I'm Frank Montenegro. God wants to bless you through this powerful series, so text a friend right now and tell them to listen in and stay right where you are. Here's Bram with part four of this series.
We're back today with the Mazzas, Rob and Katie. Thanks so much for joining me again on Compassion Radio. Rob, you're digging in your Bible now. You have a reason for that. What's God putting on your heart right now that you see in the Word?
I was thinking somehow to tag on about, we tend to get a new tool like Four Spiritual Laws or Romans Road or whatever. And then we begin to enshrine them and we use them for 30 years. And it becomes pretty obvious that they start to get a bit musty. They don't work as well. You can't always use those tools. And I think the point is God's trying to get across to us. I have this phrase, God is bigger than previously thought. In other words, your brain's too small to contain God anyway. So it's a constant revelation, kind of like the angels in heaven. Holy, 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 God is bigger than previously thought. So one of my favorite scriptures is, I really believe that this is pertinent to today, Ephesians 3:10, to the intent now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And marginal reading of the manifold wisdom of God is the multicolored, polyvariegated. I have this picture of the throne room of God. You've got the rainbow and you've got these lights and colors shooting out, and there's so much variety.
And a crystal throne and everything else. Huh?
That's pretty much what we feel like we're on the frontiers of when you're at Burning Man, because everything is so chaotic and darkness, but God answers back with much more grace. And part of it is, wow, there's much more possibilities here than we've ever seen. And if we have a little bit of courage and a lot of humility, we invent tools left and right and leave them on the ground because we're waiting for what's Holy Spirit saying now. God, what are you saying?
Now, some of the tools and the mediums with which you communicate truth are very ephemeral, because everything that ends up on the playa there is meant to be burned up. It's like the entire thing has a whole burnt offering paradigm going on with it. They literally burn the man at the end of the whole festival. And in some ways, it kind of echoes what we would read biblically as being an offering to Baal, where we burn up all we have and maybe we'll find favor with you, O gods, if we do these things that are radical. And the same way, you bring art that could be consumed or be burnt up at the end of it, that you have to pack out if you don't leave it there to get burned up later. Things seem very temporary. At the same time, you all are marching in with an attitude towards the eternal, that what happens here has eternal consequence and eternal import, that the things that will come out of this will be eternal. They're not going away. God will bring life forever or will judge forever what happens here. And I've seen that this way you've talked about the ways you prepare for the time you spent at Burning Man, the way you respond to your experience at Burning Man, the way you pray throughout the year. If you could, just give me a contrast there between what seems temporary and what yet has the weight of eternity in it.
You know, the one we represent, he's the Ancient of Days. He's the Eternal One. So everything about us, you're correct in your perceptions, that they all leave it kind of nebulous. There is no definition of what it means to burn the man. It means whatever you want it to mean. We're obviously highly focused, highly intentional. And that statement about we are the light of the world, ergo, when we speak to you, as I'm looking in your eyes, this will have permanence. So one of our frequent references to God is the Spirit of Truth. Would you like to invite the Spirit of Truth into that area of your pain? Now, we're highly intentional about the Spirit of Truth. The audience listening may think, well, that's a bit nebulous. And I would go, no, it isn't. When you're highly intentional about God, there is so much spiritual weight. When those words leave your lips, Spirit of Truth, there is a deposit made in the human heart that is going to go far beyond their 1 week at the playa. It will literally haunt them in the best ways. We're really intentional about the permanence of what we do. And we're also intentional that salvation is a process. Some of these people are so invested in darkness. We make two or three eternal, we call them God touches, and we fully trust the Holy Spirit to build on it as they leave. If they didn't come to us, they maybe would not get a Christian at all to make even a stab in their witchcraft-strewn life or pagan-focused life. They've met the Spirit of God, and the grace of God gives them time to marinate in what they've got until the next God encounter comes.
I imagine you're praying over them the same way, that once they leave you, God, don't leave them there. Bring them on. Save them. You're saying, Spirit of God, pursue them. Bring them home to heaven someday. I know your heart's there.
Yeah. Sometimes we just literally, we call it sealing the encounter. We just hold their hand, look them in the eyes, and we go, what happened to you today has eternal effects, has profound effect. It will not leave you.
Or forsake you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, if you can sum up the experience for me, because I want to step next into discussing how it's being paid forward. The world comes to Burning Man. And you said earlier in our conversation that Burning Man is not staying on the playa. This is a world congress, but all of the spiritual forces, good and bad, that coalesce on the plains of northern Nevada are alive and well, you put it that way, around the world. And the spiritual battles and the spiritual opportunities to reach souls for the sake of Christ are all around us. Tell me what's going on in your hearts now, if you can be a little open with that and our listeners about what you think God is doing there at Burning Man and what your hopes for in the future or the vision that he's given you for what your ministry will be going forward.
While we were going to Burning Man, it was probably the year 2007 or 8. I came home from Burning Man. I'd had a few years there. And I really felt the Lord say, make what you learned at Burning Man work in small town America. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is where we live and kind of fits the bill. Very safe place to live. But yet we have our problems like everyone else. Small college, number of suicides, drug problems, all the problems we're getting. The whole shift in culture to the down spiral is affecting the whole world. I mean, you can't hide from it anymore. So it was a very valid thing. So some friends of mine, a pastor and another person in ministry, hooked me up with a couple of coffee shop owners, and it was a fit. I was going to do dream interpretations with a team in their coffee shop for one time a week.
And this is like literally your comfort zone at this point. You're not sitting in the dust with salt eating away at your joints or stinging your eyes.
Yeah, I'm thinking this is kind of a walk in the park.
Yeah, compared.
We can adjust language. We're used to shifting language for cultures. And I'm really looking forward to this, but yeah.
The same spiritual battle is going on, though.
Well, only the battle shifts a little.
Okay, tell me about that.
Okay. We developed it to the point where we had very little opposition. There was always the occasional people that are very heavily invested in darkness that were consciously trying to curse you, which makes a point for being spiritually clean with your team so there's no crack in your armor. A curse causeless shall not land.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no crack. There's no worries about problem. But there's an added problem that I learned when going to a more public arena where it's mixed cultures. And part of it was, to be honest with you, was our problem with the religious culture. Mm. My problem became in the table or the booth next to us with Christians not understanding what we're doing, mostly because they just were too afraid to ask the question. Mm. And they would start to pray against us, which would set up a whole tremendously negative spiritual situation, and we could feel it. So that became a set of problems. And actually, I'll have to tell you a story of how we partly solved it. I think we were in this new venue for about a year, and we could, what we feel, contracting. It was like, people aren't coming to us, and it feels a little tight in here. And I said, well, there's a number of groups of Christians, and I think there's two things going on. Some of them just flat out are going, who are these people? We don't know. We're kind of threatened. And then there's another class that are saying, let's pray against them. This has got to be not of God.
Some cultic thing going on here, yes, in the cop, exactly, shop.
So I said to the team, hey, just everyone bring some money next week. We're going to collect it, and then we're going to pay for all the drinks while we're here. So I got out my cigar box that I had since I was 6 years old and put the money in and gave it to the barista. And I said, just buy drinks. So the first night they were buying drinks and looking at us with puzzled looks, and everything went fine. And I went up to the barista. I go, how much have we got left? And he goes, oh, quite a bit. And I said, well, let's do it again next week. So we did it again next week, and now we're getting waves, and now we're getting thank yous, and now we're getting people coming up, putting their hands on our shoulders, going, what are you doing here? How are you doing this? And then I remember this whole rather larger group getting up and going out the door, and they just said, hey, and they all wave at us. And I go, that thing's broken. We blessed them. We did the right thing.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us. Here's a word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. In these summer months, it can be a real challenge to connect with and support the ministries that you believe in. Since we're a 100% listener-supported radio ministry, we depend on consistent, faithful giving from our friends to make it through every season. And this summer, we really need you. If you believe in what we do, and you support the amazing work of the people we highlight each day, then we really need you to declare that with your prayers and generous gift today. Remember, there literally is no Compassion Radio unless you want it. We've been around for almost 75 years now, but we can't rest on our history, and we can't expect to always be around without your support. We do what we do, where we do it, when you send us. So thank you again for how you supported and prayed for us in the past. And we thank you for how you'll stand with us now to make sure we're here to inspire and challenge you today and in the years to come. Here's how you can do just that.
If you'd like to support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 right now or go to CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478. Or CompassionRadio.com. If you'd like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Another rewind here, Rob. The people we're talking about, the ones that you're seeing hearts softened, are not your target audience. You're there to be available to those who are spiritual seekers. And what you ran into is spiritual speed bumps that happen to be in the shape of people you go to church with, that might be part of the churches around this area, that misinterpreted not just your intent, but your spiritual identity. They judge you to be part of the enemy's camp. So those are the folks you are now in compassion reaching out to and saying, I'm just going to bless them, period. Surprise them. And it seems to me that most transformations do begin with a gift. God does something unexpected, gives us something we do not deserve, and then redeems the situation, builds a relationship. So have you built friendships now with these folks?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, you know, we go play golf or have coffee every Tuesday, but we're cordial. We can talk to one another. We smile. Occasionally we have conversations. Over time, this has expanded my heart toward, you know, parts of the body of Christ that in my foolishness, I would label as just too religious to change. Like Andrea said, you know, you go to Burning Man and you think you're not judgmental. And we all have that experience of God going, you're not as open as you think. So I am them. I was there once. I was worse than that. And somebody somewhere had compassion on me to cut me some grace, to give me the gift, or maybe to bow lower than I did. And it created, I call it like an opportunity in the spirit for me to step into. We have a lot of heart for actually a good part of the people that come to us at our coffee cafe are believers that are wanting to know the mystery of dreams. And they don't all come from the same streams we are. They're coming from varied streams. I have a group of Seventh-day Adventists a couple of years ago that came to my class on dreams and visions and the art of hearing God. And they were totally enthralled. And now they're some of our closest friends. God is bigger than previously thought. Well, this whole idea that we learned at Burning Man to be more inclusive, to be softer, to be more in tune.
When you finally have that conversation with people who are committed to the word and are worshipers or actively involved with the congregation that misinterpret your skill sets or your intention or your commitment to the gospel, their first response might be, well, you don't know what you're letting in when you go to a place like Burning Man. Of course, you've got the experience to say, yeah, we do. We've been on the front lines a few times, so it's not our first rodeo here. Nonetheless, you turn with compassion to them saying, I'm not trying to be leading you down a garden path here to some sort of weird spirituality you've never considered, but at least consider that God might be doing something here in this situation that you're not aware of yet. And we're fighting on the same team. And so you begin with that point of accommodation to different cultures within the body of Christ. Within the kingdom, there's going to be a lot of different tribes. But you also are calling people into a more risky kind of faith of saying, I may not know what God's up to next, but I don't want to be missing out on it. And to say that it requires the same kind of discipline that any believer requires in order to get it right, to not go in expecting that you know everything or that by yourself you will get this or not be swayed by a false spirit. It takes community working together and people from different experiences and backgrounds that God will use to be a corrective within your fellowship so you don't make a gross error that could lead people astray. So how does that work now? How do you balance out the things and listen to each other so you understand the spirit is really truly in this?
Well, I think it's safe to say that we've made plenty of mistakes, but we have willing hearts to go where a lot of people don't want to go, and therefore the grace of God is on us. I want to say, though, when we're using dreams to reach the culture, it's really not about the dream interpretation. It's about the willingness to sit with these people with a listening ear, with a loving heart, and to be obedient to whatever God wants to do with that person, whether we get the dream right or not.
But there are times when the dream itself becomes important.
Oh, plenty. Yeah.
I do think some of the biggest scenes, the ones that you use as your template of saying, how did Joseph handle the situation when he was taken out of everything he knew and was being deeply corrected and disciplined by the Lord through all those years of imprisonment and all the false accusations that led to his position? The dream was the channel through which God put him in the position he wanted him to do. And the dream, by the way, did save millions of lives. So the correct interpretation doesn't matter. If Joseph had just sprung himself out of jail and used a different story to get to the king's house, he might have been able to get there. But of course, God's intention and God's plan would not have been worked out the way God intended. That required wisdom, humility, submission, and acceptance of his sovereignty over those circumstances. By the time that Joseph ascended, his integrity was proven. As in the way that gold is proven. The dross has been removed. We've tested it. We know that it's 24 karat by this point. So that his word mattered. And the king would listen. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to get across to you, O Pharaoh. God's in this. And it is important that we take seriously that God will reveal himself in ways that are not common to our cultural understanding. But that, as you said earlier, this is a culture that's alive and well in our midst. The new age expectation that supernatural things will happen will serve me, not me serve the divine, is very much alive. And of course, that paradigm or that ethic of saying the universe is there to serve me is not just limited to new agers. It's baked into our post-60s generations. The world's here to serve me, and if I'm not happy, I'm owed something. And I have a right to be ticked. And you had better be serving my needs and what I want because I have a right. I'm entitled to this. I see that spirit around me all the time. Talking our kids through that. How do you deal with your friends who treat life like that? It's no different than what you're seeing on the Playa out there.
We very often choose churches based on our needs.
There you go.
Rather than, I mean, this would be an odd prayer for most people, but I would throw it out there. Lord, give me a church that would challenge me into becoming who you see I am. That would be a dangerous prayer.
It would be, wouldn't it? You know? Especially if God decided to answer that prayer.
Yep. Yeah.
And it seems to me the Word of God kind of promises that he will answer that kind of prayer.
Yes. We have found over the years that because dreams happen to everybody, sometimes they don't remember their dreams, but for people who remember their dreams, dreams are the door that will open a person up very, very quickly when other means will not. A person comes, they have a dream, maybe they'll have a repeating dream or something in the dream disturbs them. They don't forget it. And they want some answers. So here we are. We've never seen them before. Don't know a thing about them or their past, their family, anything. But as they tell us a dream, it's very precious because it's their dream and it's very sensitive to them. And as we begin to unpack it, they begin to open up. Whereas other forms of quote-unquote evangelism, that door might be closed. And it's a brilliant stroke of the Lord to give people dreams.
Yeah, people don't realize when they sit down and share a dream, they just say, I just had this weird, really weird dream. But they don't realize that they're opening their heart wide open. They don't realize how personal it is. And so we're very careful because we realize we're handling people's hearts. And so we're very gentle and loving and careful in how we handle those people.
Let me up the weight of this because it's like a sacred trust. It's like I'm being allowed into your holy place, your soul, or your holy of holies, spirit. God is trusting us with a human heart. We try not to take that lightly. Do we do it perfect all the time? No. There's quite a bit of the awe, the fear of God in doing this. We don't want to mess somebody up. So to add as much weight on that, and this is a learning curve. You know, you mentioned Joseph coming into position and having to be accurate with Pharaoh and the repercussions with the nation. God doesn't bring you into that position overnight. Unfortunately, when we study biblical stories, we set up an example way up there, one of the prophets.
The end of his story becomes the beginning of ours.
Yeah, exactly. And we're somewhere on the learning curve, and God is comfortable with the learning curve, but we should start somewhere. Again, that's why I offer a course in learning. But we should start somewhere in the process. And like we've said over and over again, love is a good place to start. Listening is an excellent way to convey love in a culture that flat out has too much to say and too few people listening.
Well, sometimes we don't know what the dream means. We're stumped, but we can still have an opportunity to speak life into a person. So we say, you know, I really don't know what that dream means, but let me tell this about what I see in you.
There's a lot more of this great conversation coming up next time on Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now today, when you support Compassion Radio financially, we're going to send you a copy at your request of the Psalms and Color Coloring Book, a beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags, all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. The Psalms in Color Coloring Book is the perfect gift for the person in your life who enjoys expressing their love for God through drawing and coloring.
Kids 10 and older, adults and seniors alike will love this wonderful coloring book, and we'll send you a copy at your request today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.